This is the science section too in among our series. So this is Discovery Science 2. And we are actually teaching about the attributes of the spirit man. And we use some of the science illustration. Jesus in his time used parables from daily life. And today we use science illustrations to illustrate some of the laws of the spirit and the things that we can learn about our spirit being. And I remember closing last week with how there are two types of cleansing. We talk about the ability of our spirit to know things, to hear things, and how it's important that it comes from our spirit. And last week I brought some discoveries about how some extraordinary gifts or natural talents, or people who may or may not know God, come from deep within a person's subconscious or superconscious. So much a part of them that it just flows through them and they almost like demonstrate superhuman abilities. Like the boy who could use echolocation to walk, even though he doesn't have any eyesight, he lives like a normal eyesight person. And he plays computer games, he walks and behaves and plays skateboards and all that like a normal sight person, as if he can see. And then the other person was a person who was probably the fastest gun drawer in America. And it was so fast that in a video, as we saw, under scientific conditions, two balloons who were 16 feet apart, he shot both of them. And most of us only hear one bullet sound. Boom. But there were two. They had to slow down the video to see the two shots that he made. And the scientists who were testing his reflex says that's impossible. That's humanly, under ordinary conditions, impossible. And we talk about how it's important to tap upon our inner spirit, which is why you have the... somebody comes up with how when you learn something, you need to do it 10,000 times before it becomes really a part of you. And it's not necessarily 10,000. But the understanding behind it has to become so much a part of you that it flows from some part of your being. And we talk about how our spirit man is the part of us that is the deepest part of our being, that when something comes up from the spirit, you will know it and you can sense it. And that's where we can overcome a lot of things in this life, is through the spirit man himself. And apparently, there is something visible that comes out from us before it comes out in the natural. This guy called Daniel Brinkley. I think it's Brinkley is his name. And he was struck by lightning 2 times. And as a result of the lightning strike, he also got opening to the spirit realm. And one side effect of the spirit realm was that he had an ability to sense an aura or something around a person. And when they brought him to the place where they race horses, he could tell by looking which horse was going to win. And so they use him for that, his friends. And at first, after a while, he felt that was the wrong way to use such a ability. And so he began to give his time to minister to people in the hospice. So to prepare them for death after life, because when he was struck by lightning and he died, he saw these spirit beings who told him about things in the future. So he realized that life doesn't end when it physically ends. He continued living. And so he began to give his time to that. But the fact is, you could sense, quote unquote, a winner before the person win. The next time, Olympics game is coming up. So you can use it to, when you watch, don't just watch to enjoy the sports. Try to pick up the person's spirit. You say, even unbelievers have spirit? Yes. And sense the winner. And see if you can pick up by the person's eyes, by the person's sense, where you could sense the person is going to win or not. And I tend to do that. There are certain sports that I like. Tennis, I love to watch tennis and all that. So, because nowadays people go by the luck of the draw. There's an octopus that they say can predict, and there's some alligator somewhere and all this. You know, these are all chance and not that they really know, because it's a 50-50 chance. They got 50-50 chance of getting it right. And but there is something inside, because from the spirit world, they know all the gold medalists in the coming Olympic Games. Yes, you think they don't know the future? The future is all known, and each person has a destiny. And but whether it be cause or effect, whether it be because of that that God sent His spirit that a person is destined to win, or whether the person has acquired certain spirit and they're gonna win, and the foreknowledge is there, whichever, there is a certain spirit inside of a winner before they win. And that's an interesting phenomena. And we talk about how everything flows through our heart. And there are two types of cleansing. And when the spirit fills you, instead of the word possess you, the spirit fills and possess you, there is something that you will receive that nothing in the world can stop you from receiving, the good things of God. And whatever is your destiny, no matter what people try to take away from you, it will always be yours. Because something of the spirit will attract it into your life. It's like a magnet attracting those things into your life, the good things. On the opposite side, some people got a negative setting, and they keep attracting the wrong things into their life. And in the previous Discovery series, I think we touched on one guy who got struck by lightning all his life until he really died. I think he struck how many times? 10, 11 times or something. And say, why? Most of us never got struck even once. This guy constantly gets struck. He said, why? Is he unlucky or something? Is there such a thing as luck? It's not so much luck. Everything is a cause and effect based on a law. And because we don't see all the cause and effect and the laws behind it, we thought that it's luck. But there is a cause and effect. There are spiritual laws working that we can't see. And tapping upon these spiritual laws is the key. Now, let me show some natural laws and show how spiritual laws work side by side and along it. Right. And so today, we're going to introduce you to another area that has been controversial. We call it fringe science. In fringe science, it's not 100% science acceptable yet, because there's still controversies. But we have eliminated a lot of things that are fraud and all those things. But it can still be controversial. And I like to give both views at times. So today, there is something called people discovering memory in water. Water memory. And by people who are not connected at all, they seem to discover things in water that they can't explain. Among the few people who discover it, like people like Dr. Masaru Emoto, who came up with the part where he say that water can hear our words and thoughts, and water crystals being formed. And that's an interesting thing. And he took photographs of water crystals. When they pray, it forms nice crystals. When you put hateful words, it forms other types of crystals. But being a science person, I would say, we have to examine how he gets it. Plus, can everybody else get the same thing? And then when I look at although I did mention him, in a sense that, look, there are natural things being discovered, and water seems to respond to thought wave and thought ram. Dr. Emoto, sometimes he does 100 samples, and then he chooses only one sample. So the fact is that can somebody else do it, and what temperature? And so in terms of scientific methods, he had discovered something, but because the discovery couldn't be substantiated 100% by all, it is still out there. The verdict is still out there. Is it something new that he had touched on that need more scientific analysis or not? But it's an interesting phenomena. And then, unrelated to him, another group about 20 years ago. Like 20 years ago, now should be, it's 2003. So 20 years ago, wow, that's a long time ago. By now, nearly 30 years ago, 2012, would be about 30 years ago, there was an article that came out in a reputable magazine. Some reputable magazines are like New Scientist, American Scientist, Nature. These are reputable magazines. So it was published about what somebody discovered called memory inside water. Water can remember things. And separate from immortal. And so we will have the pro and the con of the subject before we reach some conclusive of where I believe the research is going through. Then we talk about how there are two types of cleansing. There's cleansing by the blood of Jesus Christ, which removes certain things from our life. Then there's a cleansing by the word, which is Ephesians 5, which does different things. So there are two types of cleansing. To understand how this works in our spirit man, I use natural illustrations. So let's understand some natural discoveries first. And so the first is on memory in water. Water having the capacity to remember. Simple H2O molecule. And we show you the first of the video. Okay. And I don't mind having all the lights off for this. Yeah, so it becomes more clearer. Thank you. All the stage lights, thanks.
To what extent is water capable of picking up information? What does it perceive? And how does it remember it over time?
The Aerospace Institute in Stuttgart has discovered a relatively simple way of making the structure of a drop of water visible. The researchers have had their efforts rewarded by insights into a very beautiful world. Each drop has a face of its own, unmistakable and unique. Why are the individual drops so different from one another? We got a lot of people to come to a lecture hall here at the Institute, gave them all the same water, had them make drops at exactly the same time, collected all the drops, and then discovered that each individual produced different images from the same water. And here you can see the results. Here on the right you can see that the images of the individual students are different, but those made by a given student are all quite similar. This is the work of the first experimenter, this one here from the second, this from the third, and this from the fourth. Individually, they can quite easily be reproduced. But you would never have thought that they were all from the same water, because when you compare the images from the different people, you see some big differences. Then we undertook experiments to find out whether things changed when we put something into the water. A real flower was placed in the water. A while later, we took a drop of water, and here you can see one of the pictures. And you can see it in this picture. It's the typical image you get when you put a flower into water. You could recognize the flower in every single drop in this glass, of course. That can be reproduced and has significance. And if you were to put a different flower in here, for example, a Sweet William flower, then all the drops of this water would look like Sweet William. The statement that water has a memory practically changes our whole way of looking at the world, of course. Let's travel down the Rhine in the figurative sense. The water is flowing down the Rhine, picking up information everywhere it goes. So the water has more information at the mouth of the Rhine than it had at the source. And the Dutch, living at the mouth, when they drink that water, they're also drinking all that information. Thus, the world's oceans would no longer be something that separates us, but instead a giant storehouse of information, and the rain would perhaps be a data medium carrying information to the world.
Thank you. Now, that one, all the different drops of water that were there, when each of the students used the water and take the drop and putting it together, each student by his own act makes a water molecule unique to himself. You saw the first sample, four students, all different but consistent is how they handle water. Seems like water takes on the certain crystal shape following around 8%. And part of how you could explain this in a scientific way is also, if you imagine that everyone is an electric field, and then when you, if you're a magnetic field and you put magnetic feelings around a person, then the magnet would take the field around a certain person, each person's magnetic field. And we all, to a certain extent, generate a certain electromagnetic field. Perhaps water has a very curious factor of being able to pick that up in a very crystalline way that is yet to be explained by science. But we have some scientific articles, and we'll just show all of it first, one by one. So the next one is not a video, but an article. And the next one in the line. And this one, okay, this claim that water has a memory, that's the first in line, has caused a lot of controversy. And this one was 11 June 2003, and is about to be published in a New Scientist. And that's even that is the latest thing that came about in 2003, because way back there's a guy named Jacques Benavis, and a French man. This guy was the first to state that water in 1988, way back, has a memory factor. And of course, some of those who in Germany, about 30% of people use homeopathy. And what they do is they would take a sample of certain things, a very tiny bit, and they would use various treatments. But what this guy did was he would eliminate and dilute a certain solution until in a test that original compound is no more in the water, yet the water seems to behave as if it still got the compound. So he explained that the only way he could explain it is in this manner, what he called water memory. And that's come to be. But this water memory claim has been so controversial, even though later on, a Nobel Prize winner supported him. For 20 years, they still cannot win over most of the people. In fact, some of them lost their funding because they just were not supported by the community, and they thought they'd really gone off the deep end. One of them was a Nobel Prize winner, who you see afterwards, and that was completely unsupported, even though he won the Nobel Prize among the most brilliant of people, and he believed in that, mainly because when people try to repeat his experiment, some succeed, some didn't succeed. And in science, everyone must succeed. But they forgot something. If water is affected by the user, immediately each person affects the water. It's like Heisenberg's principle. By measuring something, you change what you measure. And straight away, it's more like what I call the Heisenberg principle exploded. If water is that sensitive, and if each one of us causes our individual water to be different by our own touching and handling, then it's going to mark up the experiment too, especially on small areas where there's no compound, but it's just the shape of the water molecules. And that's an interesting thing. So I have an explanation, if that is true, why everyone cannot get the same results. And but we got to hear both sides of the agreement. So for 20 odd years, until 2003, it was controversial. Because the experiments, not everybody could get the same experiment. And so in science and physics, if you cannot get the same experiment, it's still inside the unreliable factor. And let's look at the next here. we see this guy again. This new, there was a new thing that is being published by this guy in 2003, and that's Louis Ray, which we'll look at him afterwards. Yes. Okay, this next article, even as recently as December 8, 2011, they were still talking about the video I just played for you was, I think it's around 2008, 2011, around that time, and you can trace it, although here the article came out in 2011, and it's quite not too far away. But let's look further down here, the next article. So this was the first, just now the one I played for you. And then there are human emotions, alter water molecule. That's the one by Emoto. So you're getting more and more research done by various people. And so there is a question of whether that is still true or not, especially if the human body contains about 60% water, the brain 70%, the lungs nearly 90% in its fluid stage. And so how much we are being affected at the moment. The next article. And okay, so in this article, let me see here. Okay, this one is by a person who's against it. Okay, so the person who say, no such thing, and looks at this area, and so he says he has this argument why he doesn't think it's so. And let's look further at some of his argument. He mentioned some of those things. And let's look at some of his arguments way down. And okay, so he believes it's a pseudoscience. It's not really true, not really real. And they expose all those things. And that's why one of the basis why Emoto, Masaru Emoto, is not widely accepted, because they could not, no one is producing these experiments, and his sampling is not tough enough for scientific explanation or acceptance. Science is very tough, and the standards are very high. And okay, let's look at this other guy. Okay, that's all this guy has to say. Okay, let me look at the next one. Yes, next article. Okay. This guy is also anti, in a sense that he doesn't believe it. So I got two articles that's against this, but let's see some of the points that they brought out. So, okay, the Nobel Prize winner who believes in memory water is called Luc Montagnier, and he believes. He's a virologist, he won the Nobel Prize, and he believes that, and he has a different explanation. So in January 2009, a French Nobel laureate, Luc Montagnier, I might pronounce it wrongly, and he believes that when a virus or a bacteria is in the water, that the water takes the shape of it, even if the bacteria has been removed. And he explains it, he used explanation, he says that that the water, the H2O molecule, emit radio waves that he can detect. That the radio wave signals. And he claims that he can detect that in homeopathy things, in cooperation with the first team that mentioned it, the Jack's team, Ben Venice team. And so he mentioned, and he's trying to measure digital signals. But the problem again, still controversial, because some can measure it, some cannot measure it. And then this guy is quite a good intellect guy who, when he went against it, he does list out his points. Oops. Okay, they doesn't have, this article doesn't have its points. Let's look at the next one. Yep. Okay, not this one. So we look at this one first. Okay, so the guy mentioned several points. I must have missed one of the articles there. He mentioned several points, and one of those he mentions is that people think water is magical because it can go up into the tree trunks. So he lists about 6-7 points. Among his points is, water is not special. It's not the only element that can exist in three states of liquid water. And what, and he mentioned sodium and all that people can do. So he argues one by one. He shoots down all the argument how special water is. And then he talks about the next video that shows that it's remarkable how water can go against gravity and go up the plants to the leaves, no matter how tall a plant is. And we all call it, then he says, how silly can they be? Don't you know? It's called capillary action. And but when you read his argument, he doesn't know that capillary action is also not fully understood. Why the size and the width of something, and only water, no other liquid, only water will go against gravity. But he sort of looks down on all these things and he says, don't they know how silly they are? It's just called capillary action. It's just like if I were to drop this pointer, it goes down. And then I say, look, there's a force that we fully cannot explain and that is causing this to happen. Somebody may say, it's gravity, stupid, it's gravity. But do you know that even scientists don't understand why gravity exists and what gravity actually is? Why should it be that when molecules clump together, they cause gravity? Is it because each molecule has gravity? What is causing the gravity? Is it the amount of proton and neutron? Then can you quantify how much gravity each proton has and each neutron has? If it's that simple, scientists cannot. They can't exactly say each neutron has how much gravity, each proton has how much gravity. You multiply it together, it will produce this. Because they still cannot find the consistency. And so we can measure gravity, we can classify gravity, we can explain gravity, but you don't know why and what is causing it. The same, magnetism. What causes magnetism? What is it? Because we know electricity is the electron. King, 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 shocking you. But what exactly is magnetism? How does it? Where is it from? And so it has to be a force that is linked to electricity, which would imply that every electron then has a magnetic field too. And then the accumulation of magnetic field would produce magnetism, correct? If that is so, then why is plastic, which is filled with molecules and electrons, not magnetic? Do you know up to today, they cannot explain why some materials are magnetic, some are not? Not as simple as that. I believe there's a scientific explanation that is not fully explained yet. Of course, I got my own theory, which I actually wrote a science book, and I talk about how the arrangement of the extra proton and neutron causes the a magnetic flow. So the magnetic flow doesn't cancel itself, it flows out. And so that's another thing. But the fact is, there are some forces we don't fully comprehend, understand, even though we classify. Just because you classify something doesn't mean you know it. You classify it so you can study it further. Things like capillary action and all those things. So I presented for against. So those against, quite a logical argue, a person to argue. And then he also argued that how can water contain 42,000 or 44,000 bits of information and all that. And he just questioned it, but he didn't explain it further. So his skepticism was more on the level of someone who did not examine the evidence further. It's just like someone who might say, you know, wait, you know, how can you say that we exist before you come to this earth? It's just a Christian who say that. Then when you ask a Christian, on what basis do you establish the fact that we only exist when we were conceived in our mother's womb? Give me scripture and verse. The Christian wouldn't be able to give. But yet he will believe in that thing. Because traditionally Christians believe that. Whereas I have verses to show there's a possibility you pre-exist. Jeremiah chapter 1. Before you were conceived in the womb, I knew you. Ephesians chapter 1. Before the foundation of the earth, the Lord has chosen us. And so there are a lot of verses that talks about our existence in God, at least, whether in the heart of God, in the spirit of God, whatever manner, there is some sort of existence or creation of your spirit in that terms. Whereas God creating you when you were conceived, there is no particular verse in that. In fact, Psalms 139 also was before you were ever conceived. That it seems to be your existence. And so you can see it's just like a superficial Christian saying, ah, cannot be, but they got no basis. The basis is by traditional beliefs, and they don't have the scripture. Whereas if I present three scriptures, Jeremiah 1, Psalms 1, 3, 9, Ephesians 3, to show that you exist before you came, how will you argue? So it's what I call need closer examination. So whenever one rejects something, one must actually examine first. Which is why you can see that for myself, I am wide open book. Whenever something is new, I would say let's not criticize it, run it down until we examine it further. And unless we have a basis to say from the scripture, this is right, this is wrong, or a scientific basis, we need to examine it carefully. At the same time, of course, as I explained in last week's session, that there are a lot of things on the internet that are all fraud and wrong, and you got to take things that are really true enough to examine it. So, okay, there was one article, the one with the PDF file. Yes. Remember the article that was published in New Scientist? In 1988, Jax published his memory water in Nature. It produced 20 years of controversy. Then in 2003, this article was published in New Scientist, which is even tougher. The thing about this is, it brought the argument now even to a more scientific basis. Because the new evidence measures something else. It doesn't just measure the water. It measures the thermoluminance. In other words, the photons that are emitted in the water. And whether when you remove the elements, the same lights still remain and in that water. And for this one, scientists have reproduced it and they are able to get 100% results. Which is why again, they said, well, after 20 years now, this one come back again. Water memory that is really kicked and thrown away, suddenly come to the fore again. Because he used a different measurement system. He used, instead of radio waves, like the Nobel Prize winner suggested, which everyone find it hard to measure, and he used thermoluminescence in ultra-high dilution research. Now, ultra-high dilution means that the original compound has, in a scientific classification, been totally removed. But yet, it still produced that luminescence as if the compound is inside. So, they use lithium and sodium. As a sodium, of course, salt, and to test it out. And so it's a long, extract article, and we go down to the conclusions. You see some of the little graphs. Ah, okay. So it measures the peak 1 and peak 2, and D20, and here, to see where the light waves are still there, whether it's still present or not. And so he's very scientific, and it is a very scientific paper. And in the solution, they tell you how solid the solution was. And under normal circumstances, it should not produce a light. Here it's producing a light. So you talk about the two peaks that are there, all the way to the conclusion. Okay, these are all very scientific discussion. Okay, conclusions. So in summary, the data suggests that the thermoluminescence, and this is a technical paper, in science you cannot say this is it. It suggests this. And say, please research some more. And says, can contribute to the challenge of circassian and ultra-high dilution preparation, commonly applied to homeopathic medication preparation. In order to improve the protocol, our data suggests further research utilizing a large number of observations, include A, different time periods between preparation and substance they use in experiment. So you notice how long it's kept after the solution has been removed. And it still lasts. It says the luminance is still there. And the time period. And then be different time periods between irradiation and thermoluminance. So it says do it at different times to see whether it's consistent. And so it suggests more scientific research. And talks about the procedure, but basically they note the peaks that are still there. So more research is being done by different scientists. From 2003, when the scientists published the article, Luke himself, the Nobel Prize winner, and he ends up actually in China because only China willing to pay money to research further. He couldn't find people to support him in he's a Nobel Prize winner in France to support his research. So before we go into applying some of this understanding, we give you the last part about water, the last little video, and then we look into the Bible. So we can off all the lights for this last video. Yes, the future of medicine. And there are eight of them. We only shown the first. There are eight parts, so we just show the first part.
Water. Water, the most common substance on Earth. It is with us every moment of our lives. But do we know the secrets of this amazing element? Where did it come from? Who bestowed water on the planet, and why? The only such planet in the universe. Perhaps only water itself knows the answers to these questions. There is just as much water on Earth today as there was when everything began. When the world was born, and acquired the shape and sensations we know so well.
So what we did was what we always do here, do very careful work in a narrow field. So we said, let us focus on water, but we will look at it from many angles.
In the Holy Scripture, water is more than simply a physical substance. It's a certain concept, and that concept is connected in a special way with the idea of life. Nothing in the world is softer and more yielding than water. Yet it wears down the hard and the strong, and none can overcome it, though anyone can conquer it. That which is yielding conquers the strong, and the soft overcomes that which is hard. Everyone knows this, but no one dares to live by it. The Chinese philosopher Lao Tzu wrote about water 2,500 years ago.
I mean, water as such has been extensively studied. mean, it is well known that water has unusual properties, physical, chemical properties, when compared to other liquids.
Es kann kein Wissenschaftler erklären.
No scientist has been able to explain, for example, why water's density increases below the freezing point and becomes less above freezing.
Das Begrünungsgrad.
Any substance contracts when it's cool, but water does the opposite. It expands. People learn to explore this unique property in the distant past. Inhabitants of the far north would quarry stone by pouring water into cliff-faced crevices before the frosts came. In the south, people pounded wooden wedges into cracks in the rock and then doused them with water. As they swelled, the wedges would break the stone. Much later, scientists established that water in pores and capillaries is capable of creating enormous levels of pressure. In a seed, for example, it reaches 400 atmospheres at the moment of germination. That's why a plant shoot can break through asphalt with ease.
It's such a small molecule as well. It is very specific that these properties are of water. And you won't find other molecules that have all of the similar anomalies.
If even a single one of these anomalies were missing, life itself would not exist on the planet. Every one of water's properties is unique, and they do not easily fit into the generally accepted laws of physics. Science has not yet been able to answer the question of why water is the only substance on the planet that can exist in three states: liquid, solid, and gaseous. Why does water have the highest surface tension of all liquids? Why is it the most powerful solvent on Earth? And how, in defiance of the Earth's gravity, is water able to rise through the trunks of gigantic trees against tens of atmospheres of pressure? We have taken a great step forward. We have really understood that we know almost nothing about water. Therefore, it is a great step because this realization is followed by the desire to find something out. Southeast Asia, the year is 1956. The place is a secret military laboratory for developing and producing weapons of mass destruction. Work has been underway here for several years on a powerful new generation of bacteriological weapons. The scientists are discussing what properties this weapon should have at one of their protracted secret meetings. Suddenly, the session breaks off. All of the participants are taken to the hospital with symptoms of severe food poisoning. An investigation into what happened quickly hits a dead end. The scientists had consumed nothing except water from the carafes on the tables. The water was tested. No harmful additives were found. Its chemical composition was H2O. That's what the report said. Poisoning caused by ordinary water. 20 years later, a fantastic hypothesis was put forward. A hypothesis that could explain water's unpredictable behavior. Water has memory. Experiments done in many countries around the world have shown that water receives and makes an imprint of any outside influence, remembering everything that occurs in the space that surrounds it. Any substance coming into contact with water leaves a trace in the water. Had our ancestors guessed this when they used silver vessels to turn ordinary water into healing water?
It is today the best antibiotic that is made, as good in Afghanistan and Iraq. The American army uses this water, one atom per 100 million, to kill all the germs in a wound. So the President of the United States uses this water to keep infectious bugs from his hand. So I said, how can this water be?
As it records information, water acquires new properties, yet its chemical composition remains unchanged.
So their theory was, the chemical composition of the water is important. Now, the sensational news is that that is nonsense. The structure of water is much more important than the chemical composition.
The structure of water means how its molecules are organized. We can see how water molecules join together into groups. These are called clusters. Scientists came up with the idea that these clusters work as memory cells of a certain sort, in which water records the whole history of its relationship with the world, as if on magnetic tape.
People don't think, when you turn on the light, the water is changing. When you turn on the electric field from the power lines, the water may change. So that is the direction of research.
Water, of course, remains water, but its structure, like a nervous system, reacts to any irritation. Modern instruments have made it possible to record the fact that within each of water's memory cells, there are 440,000 information panels, each of which is responsible for its own type of interaction with the environment.
If you consider a cluster as a group of specific molecules, then it can survive only a short amount of time. But if you consider it as a structure whereby molecules can leave and other molecules come in, the cluster can last effectively for a very long time.
The stability of the cluster structures confirmed the hypothesis that water is capable of recording and storing information.
It may be the single most malleable computer, which can, it's like a computer memory. It's the memory of information. We must know how it is arranged. It is like the alphabet. If I give you the alphabet, you don't know a word, you don't know a letter, you don't know a sentence. So the molecular structure is the alphabet of water. And you must make a sentence out of water, and you can change a sentence.
Thank you very much. And so, we always thought water was just water. Today, if we accept the scientific premises that water has an ability to be affected by everything around it. So if I drink from it, my water now is different from your water, if you could take it from the same source, because my molecular structure is compounded in the water. Isn't that interesting? And so researchers from different fields, the thing about it, from Japan, who is like a semi-science, and from homeopathy, which is a JAX, from a virologist, which is the Nobel Prize winner, Luke, and then from a totally unrelated thing, and then there are many experiments that you carry out, totally unrelated guy who studied thermoluminescence, and all converging in the fact that inside water, water is now like the hard disk of the universe in nature. It's recording all the time, continuing to record. Now, probably all elements record, but perhaps this is the most malleable of all. One of the reasons why human beings like gold is not just because gold is hard to find. There are other elements that are very hard to find. The rare earth are also hard to find. Rare elements that are used in modern electronics today. But why is gold so common in all cultures and so valuable? Gold has the ability to be stretched so thin and in so many ways unlike most other metal. In other words, gold is almost like metallic liquid. You could stretch it very thin. And so each metal has its own compound. Why do human beings like plastic? Because plastic cheap to produce and it can take any shape and form that we want. So we humans use plastic all the time. And now plastic is all around us. It might be poisonous and they're trying to make plastic less poisonous. And why don't they make everything made from glass? Right? It's not more expensive and not so easily to handle. Well, why plastics? Cheap, easy to handle, made into so many things. From tough things, even bulletproof things, and even to soft plastic bags that you carry. And they even invent plastic bags that dissolve by itself. And if you keep those plastics in a drawer, you open, you find, wow, it turned into dust. So we use plastics because in our modern world, we need a lot of things to be produced through as easy, fast, and cheap as possible. Water could be nature's hard disk. And it carries a lot of things inside. And so there are qualities in the water that is being discovered today. And today we are more scientific, more exact, more precise. We ask for even more micro and picoseconds of things. Long ago, your forefathers, your parents or your forefathers, noticed something about health. They say, make sure your source of water is good and clean. And today when missionaries travel the world and they go to certain countries, they will take their own water. And sometimes they wonder, their water is absolutely clean, but yet they react to the water. And remember there was the incident where the scientists all got the same food poisoning, but there was nothing in the water. And it was only water that they drank and nothing else different that everybody drank. Because if water takes the shape of a toxic substance, even if the toxic substance is removed, and you take that water, your body reacts as if you're still ingesting the toxic substance. That is the funny thing. The same with homeopathy, where they say that the curable thing helps them and it takes the good molecular thing to help them. And isn't it interesting to note all these interesting qualities of water that we didn't know water had? When thermoluminance came in, it almost sealed the deal. But now everyone is asking, why? What? And perhaps in the next 10 years or 20 years from now, water might be used for a lot of things that we never thought it could be used for. And who knows, next time they might not just examine your blood. They might just say, all we need is some liquid from you, your sweat. And not just what your sweat contains, but the molecular structure of your sweat. Might be, we haven't got technology that advanced yet that can examine the molecule. So it's not so much the chemical nature of water. It's the molecular structure. For example, the other element that is very common is carbon. And carbon can be very soft. And you use it in pencil lead. Carbon can be the toughest material on earth. It's a diamond. Chemically, a diamond and a pencil lead are the same. But physically, they are different because of the way the molecule structure. Now, I have shown one element. Imagine water which can change shape faster than between carbon. Carbon doesn't change shape. You need high pressure to make, and today scientists have discovered how to make diamonds. They haven't discovered how to make big ones, but they have discovered how to make small ones that they can have industrial use. All they do is take simple, cheap charcoal, carbon, and they put high pressure in heat, and they produce diamonds. So nowadays you can artificially produce diamonds versus diamonds that are found in nature. And one day I was talking to someone who is an expert on diamonds in Australia. I say, how do you know the difference? And they said that sometimes they contain impurities. And it says the human-made ones tend to have less impurities because the sample original is there. But the one that is in nature might contain some impurities in between the molecules of the carbon. And thus the color and all that might be slightly different. So that is a different element. But there is water which seems to be absorbing. So while we are here, this water, if this water has been here since morning, it just worshipped the Lord twice for service, second service. It just heard the message of preaching. It just saw somebody say, "Wow, anointed water, holy water." Hey, now we are sounding very Catholic. The Catholic Church will say, okay, now the Catholic Church will say, "See, don't you holy water?" Anyway, without going to the extreme of being superstitious, we need a scientific basis. And if we accept the scientific basis, there are changes that are made to water. There are there, at least as far as science is concerned, to this extent, that there are more and more evidences that water molecules changes things. And remember last week we talked about cleansing. Now, blood is also liquid, and also a lot of water is in our blood. And so we're talking about two types of cleansing. What does the blood of Jesus Christ do to us? It cleanses us from all sins. And let's look at the book of Hebrews first. There are two types of cleansing that are done, and the cleansing is mainly in our spirit being. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Hebrews 9 verse 14. "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" We know that the blood of Jesus Christ removes sin, both sin nature and sin. And so the blood of Jesus is to like bring us to square one, bring us back to the original starting point. And whatever, how far away we've gone from God or how much sin we have in our life, the blood of Jesus is always there to cleanse us, remove all. It does two things, sin and sins. When you study the cleansing of the blood, it does sin and sins. Now, sins, we can look like the blood removing all the poison and toxic from your life. But knowing the quality of water, to be able to, you see, let's say sin is like a virus or disease in our life. Once the virus and disease is removed from our life, there might be shapes within us that are still caused by the echo, I call it. The memory, let me call the memory like an echo, still residing in us. And that is why even after Jesus has cleansed you from sin, you still feel sin, or the tendency to sin. It's like the echoes of sin still drawing you. And so you need to reprogram the setting and inside you so that you love other things. Let's say, if the love of, let me, instead of trying to twist and turn my body into all shapes, let's say, inside your spirit or inside your conscience or whatever part within us, let's say sin looks like that. Okay, we all like that crush. And all kinds of energy force goes in and it causes things that are too extreme. And part of sin is what I call extreme things. Eating is not wrong, but eating is your God. So, wow, eating is so big, right? So it's all out of balance inside you. And different desires and all the so are all over the place. So things are not balanced in your life. And let's say the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you. So it removes the sin. But then you still got the shape of that thing inside you. Okay? some because you're 60%, 70% water, you still got the shape of sin inside you. It only cleanses you. But the sin nature, let's say the actual sin nature is taken away. And then the shape of the thing is there. How do you remove the wrong shape that is there? You need the second cleansing, the Word. Because the Word that flows from God is like water, like a river. The Spirit is like water. Jesus says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. In John chapter 4 and John chapter 7, it gives you two pictures of water. Jesus told the woman at the well that she can draw water from the well's well of salvation. Jesus illustrated it with real water. Jesus, give me a drink. The woman said, why are you a Jew talking to me, a Samaritan? Nobody does that. And then Jesus says, if you have water to drink, which I can give you, you will never thirst again. Oh, I want this water, or whatever. Or the woman says, you know, who are you? You know, are you this and that? And so, Jesus talked about living water. That when it comes to you, you will never thirst again. That is, in John 4, salvation. So when salvation comes, your thirst for God is met. But then in John chapter 7, in John chapter 4 is a well. In John chapter 7 is a river. Jesus says, whoever receives, whoever is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. For out of his belly, talking about spirit being, shall flow rivers of living water. So the Spirit realm and the Holy Spirit flowing is like rivers of living water. And after you're cleansed by the blood of Jesus, there is still within us many molecular structure within us, in the spirit realm, illustrating with water, in the shape of sin. And even though the sin is removed, and the sins are removed, that shape produces certain desires still, as if it's still there. And we need something else. That is why many Christians, they wonder, why I keep falling into sin, asking for forgiveness, fall into sin, ask for forgiveness, fall into sin, fall for forgiveness. How many times should I ask for forgiveness? Well, Jesus did give you an answer. 70 times 70 and more if you keep coming to God. God will keep forgiving you. But then you got tired. You say, I don't want that. I know God is so nice, so wonderful. But how will I reach a point where I won't fall again? That shape must change. It must be replaced by another shape. Let's say I freeze that water right now. It will remain in the shape of whatever till the time it cannot move anymore. The molecules are fixed. So the last memory of the water is when it was frozen. And so we need liquid to flow in, and we need a new memory to flow in, and that is where the cleansing of the Word comes in. And last week we talked about how the heart is important, to train the heart, and the process of cleansing by the Word, John chapter 15. And the Word is symbolized like water. John chapter 15. Jesus says in verse 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 verses. And notice his illustration. He's illustrating that we are a branch. He is the vine. Father is the winekeeper. Now if we are the branch, he is the vine. What does the branch need from the vine? Capillary action that draws the nutrition of God to us. Again, a picture of water. But that water is not the blood. It's the Word. It's the Word of God. And so when the word of God comes into our life, he continues to say in verse 3, Jesus says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. So Jesus says his word is having a cleansing process. Not the blood, but the word. And in Matthew 5 verse 8, it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The word pure is the same Greek word, and it's the Greek word katarizo. So in John 15 verse 3, Jesus says, you are katarizo through the word. And in Matthew 5 verse 8, it says, those who are katarizo will see God. So in John 15 verse 3, you could say, you are already purified through the word. So when we came to Jesus, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sins. Sin is removed, sin nature is dealt with. And you constantly need the blood to come and cleanse you. But then something made you want to go back to sin. It's still attracting you back. Because the shape of the liquids still within you, in the spirit dimension, still that shape. You need to be reshaped. That's why Jesus said, you need the word. And as the word cleanses you, and as the word processes you, slowly you are being reshaped. That's why Christians who struggle with sin in their life are going the wrong way if they don't meditate on the word. But when you meditate the word, don't be in a hurry. You thought, wow, I go 24 hours meditating and speak the word. And the next day you thought you become holified. If there's such a word. Where you will sin no more. These things take time. It's a shaping that takes place. And as it shapes you slowly, you're getting back, let's say the square shape in this tissue paper is the optimum shape. And it's slowly there. And then slowly you lose some desire for things. After a few months of meditation, wow, you suddenly love to pray. Don't know where it comes from. And then some things you love to do before, you don't like it anymore. Because your desire, the shape on your inside is being formed. And then through time, as you meditate, and you meditate, you're getting more into more to be like Jesus. Let's assume that that is the optimum shape. And then suddenly, being in that shape, it began to attract the right spiritual things into your life. You also begin to feel a different desire flowing into your life. Your heart is being shaped properly. You see, there are all kinds of heart, right? Broken heart, merry heart, bitter heart. Your heart that the Spirit flows through needs to be shaped properly. And as it's shaped by the word cleanses you, it goes back to the right shape. And that is why sometimes after you're shaped correctly by the word, you spend 1 year meditating on the word, and then you didn't meditate for 1 month. You still find you got energy. Although you should not be doing that. But why? Because there's a maintenance of the shape. You're running on the momentum. But remember, during the month you don't have the word, things happen to you. Right? You got something happen in your life. And slowly getting a shape. Which is why you need the word to keep shaping you all the time. To maintain the thing. Because every day you go out, you're facing sin. Every day you go out, there are thoughts that come to you. You open the paper, already thoughts can come to you. You watch things, you do things, you relate to people. Different things are hitting you all the time. Plus, that is what you hear and see. What about those things you didn't hear and see? What about those things you can't hear and see? You breathe the air that the sinners breathe in. You drink the water that the sinners drink in. What are these other things you don't see? Okay. And they have subconscious influence upon you. And so that's why sometimes people say, hey, don't know why they travel from one country to another, they drink the water, they get sick. Because generally, the whole culture is energized into the water. So some of you say, wow, oh, we got to be careful of sin, careful of sickness, careful of demon. Now I have to be careful of water. Oh, then you develop hydrophobia, fear of water. You cannot drink the water. So you go to a new country, you become extreme. And then you take the water, you say, here. Even though now the water is bought from the 7-Eleven shop in India, it might have an Indian shape inside. And then they are used to the shape, you're not used to the shape. If I drink it, if it's a shape in the shape of very hot curry that you cannot tolerate, and then you drink, oh, your stomach got reaction to curry, but you never ate curry. And then you go to China, right? India must illustrate China. You go to China, you know, where the hygiene standards are not there, and so you don't dare to drink certain places on the water. I remember one missionary, he showed me a photograph, and he showed how they went to different places. I think that was in Australia. And then they were brought to one tiny village. In a tiny village, they take water from the well. The water is brown color. After boiling, still brown. No purification. And so the person, a lady Miji, saw them took the water, boil it, make tea. Here's your tea. So, can you imagine? You boil it, you kill all the germs and virus and all those things. But now we know, water got shape and memory. So, wonder whether boiling changed the shape or whatever. And then what else is going on? And so, instead you went to China and you buy water from 7-Eleven. But then you don't know what shape it came from. And then in Singapore, now all your water is going to come through the sewage system or so. Certain amount. Say, well, I don't know what shape is coming in. So now you develop hydrophobia. You take the water and say, hey, don't drink the water. Must pray over water. Now not only you have to confess the word, the water also must you confess the word too. Now water, you listen here, read the Bible. Okay, I read the Bible to you, alright? Okay, read the Bible to you. You read the Bible to the water, under the water, read the Bible. And then after you say, okay, have you drank today? Finish? You got your devotion? So, that is too extreme, right? But one thing, Imoto has shown us, is that you don't need to read for the water. Water, read the Bible yourself. You draw the scriptures into the water. Draw the scriptures into the water or something. And so there are ways of doing that. And so sometimes you ask, okay, what about all this water that we hear and all those things? Generally, it does. And is it, could we artificially use magnetic thing, which is what they do, to squeeze and make the water molecules small and in a scientific sense to absorb? But it only does one aspect. There are 40,000 over possibilities for the information. So we see water is a liquid, but within the liquid are molecules that are loose. But they're not loose, they are actually clumped together. And the clump, so you, every time you see water the next time, remember that the water is clumped into different shapes. And all the shapes together make it liquid. But inside it can be many, many, many shapes. And so the moment you handle the water, it takes on a certain shape, a certain personality of its own. Which means, to a certain extent, it doesn't matter. Don't develop hydrophobia. Fear of water. I cannot imagine you got fear of water, then you don't dare to drink water. The worst kind of allergy that I heard about is allergy to water. It's terrible, isn't it? You need the water and yet you're allergic to it. And thank God no one is allergic to oxygen. So, well, all these things, do not go extreme. Okay? Never go extreme. Because life is not supposed to be that difficult. You got to make it so difficult, everything you frighten off, then you cannot live your life anymore. You got to be able to enjoy your life and live normally. The main thing is, look at Jesus. If Jesus doesn't have hydrophobia, you shouldn't have hydrophobia. Whatever Jesus can do, you can do. And live a normal life. But there are practical things that we are doing. Now, how does the knowledge help us? In the natural, we realize that water is very important. And not only do you need clean, clear water and the shape of the water molecules, but it might be a good idea the next time, you know. Of course, don't anyone start the idea of, you know, next time we have prayer meeting, after this service, next time you got service, well, next Sunday, the whole platform full of water bottles. You know why everyone brought their whole candy? And after service, take back and drink for the week. That would be too extreme. And one thing we do is, in your own life or whatever way, the next time you buy water or have water anyway, or you have water, perhaps put it in your container, put it in a room, put it somewhere, and where you handle it, and you pray, you spend time with God, and so it doesn't matter how or where, what shape it is. Remember, you can change the shape of the water. You're not a victim of the shape of water. You have the power to change the shape of the water, through your life. But understand that there's a process that takes it to shape it in whatever manner it is, to shape the water. And how does it apply into the spiritual dimension? We see here in John 15, it says, water purify our heart. How does this purification process take place? In the word like water purifies us, in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, I always have been asking the Lord about this one that I believe He tells us more in chapter 5 verse 27. You see, I've been asking God, Lord, what is this spot and wrinkle? Because it doesn't mean sin. Because you're not the husband is not cleansing the wife from sin alone. That will be the blood of Jesus Christ. But here in John chapter 5, in Ephesians chapter 5, it says that Jesus, in verse 27, that he might, in verse 26, 27, husband love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify, that's the word, make holy, and cleanse her. So this is a cleansing process, not by the blood. It definitely is not talking about cleansing from sin. You know why? Every time the Bible talks about cleansing from sin, only the blood can do that. Only the blood. The blood needs to cleanse us from sin and sins. But here the cleansing is different. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. So this is the word now performing the cleansing. What does the cleansing do? The next verse in verse 27. That he might present her, that is the church, to himself, a glorious church. That is a perfect church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Spot and wrinkle is not talking about sin. Even in a natural, it's not a sin to have wrinkles. Right. Although in the natural world, you know, some beauty lady say, oh, you know, and they might wake up and then in the morning find, oh dear, I got one line here. Help me, pray for me. I have sinned. Right. No, a wrinkle is not a sin. If a wrinkle is not a sin, then why are we getting rid of it? It's a symbol of imperfections. Imperfections. Where does this imperfections came? See, when we are cleansed by the blood and sin and sins have been taken away, we still need to be tuned, if you want to use another word. I can use water illustration or use music illustration. In music illustration, you still need to be tuned to the right thing. So let's leave water for a moment. Whenever you buy a guitar or a piano, sometimes if they kept it in the shop for a while, of course the good shops they keep it in perfect tune. But generally, you need to tune it properly. And so when you buy a new set of guitar strings, or you change the piano strings, there's nothing wrong with the string. But the problem is the tune. So the strings can be perfect, you could buy the best strings possible, you need to tune the strings. And then you cannot just tune anything you want. Of course you can tune it to the right semitone between each note. But your semitone and your tone, your C might be lower, your C might be the D, or might be the A flat, whereas it's not the official C at a certain vibration per second. So your guitar could be in harmony within the strings. And then you play it, but because you tune it 2 frets lower, so when you actually play the D, it might be the B, B, C, D. It might be two lower, 2 tones lower. And so when 3 guitarists play together, they must make sure they're all tuned to the exact C. And then when they play C, they will be exactly. And so between instruments, like a guitar playing with a piano, so the piano is tuned to the right C, the guitar is tuned to the right C, the same C, then they can play together. But if they're tuned wrongly, the C here and the C there is a different C. And one is the correct one, one is the wrong one. Either hold lower and higher, they are out of tune. In the same way, sometimes we think nothing wrong with our life, because we are tuned to the thing. But when our life compared to Jesus, who is the major C, right? Christ. and it's not really in tune. What, we are satisfied with our own life, our conscience level. But when you compare to Christ, we are way out of tune. We didn't know we are out of tune until you come to Christ. Then you realize, hey, your nice life, your good life, it's not really the way Jesus wants it. And you got to slowly retune our life in the same way. So we all need retuning. But using the water illustration, which is interesting, that the water that flows through our heart, because the Spirit dwells in our heart, and the Spirit is like water, the water flows into our heart, and it's slowly replacing, removing the wrinkles, removing the spots, things that are imperfect, things that are radiating imperfection in your life. But it's the washing of the word that slowly cleanses us, changes us, transforms our spirit man. And as our spirit man is tuned, it should have the right tone or the right vibration. How do I know if my spirit man is in the right shape? Is it, you know, you put a microscope, let's say, if you could, and you look at your spirit man, and is it like, you know, you wonder, let's pretend that, let's say Jesus is, you know, a perfect square shape, and what happened if your spirit man, you put a microscope, oi, triangular shape, or some people's spirit man, you know, shaped like the devil with 2 horns. All the different shapes. Say, how do I know that my spirit man is the correct shape and the correct vibration? See, each shape produces its own vibration. Remember how we affect water? So imagine, when water flows through you, it takes your shape. Just like the person drop a flower into the water, the flower puts a shape. And who knows, you could be very big and overweight, and then you touch the water, boom, the water becomes fat water. And then someone else drink it. Boy, I don't know why I'm putting on weight too. I'm hanging around you. Say, what did we share? You know, I didn't eat the same food we eat. Oh, we shared water. You never know. And so, Whatever flows from our life also takes shape. It takes your shape. It takes all, imagine it absorbs all your weaknesses, all your things. Now, again, don't have hydrophobia. The next time you got a problem, don't blame water. Hey, because I drank your water. Now look what happened to me. You caused this sickness. Okay, don't go to the extreme. But, it's interesting that that all these things are happening, and we are able to look into how we can change and tune. Now, we need to know what is the right shape and what's the right tune. The right shape and the right tune is righteousness, peace, and joy. Love, peace, and joy. Whenever the vibration coming out is not love, peace, joy, the shape is wrong. So, in the book of Romans chapter 16, verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So when your righteousness, peace, and joy, which is righteousness, justification by faith, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God, and then we have joy, we have love, and it needs to flow from our life. Colossians 3 verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell richly in you, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And as you speak in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, that tune is always joy. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18 and 19, be filled with the Spirit, and speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. And obviously the Bible expects that the only healthy life is produced by a merry heart. In Proverbs 17 verse 22 that we read just now, did we read it just now? Proverbs 17 verse 22, it says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, and a broken spirit dryeth the bones. So the opposite of a merry heart is a broken spirit. It's all broken up. It cannot sustain you. And then in the next chapter, chapter 18, I believe around verse 14, it says, the spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness. So we realize that the right thing that flow out from our life is love, joy, and peace. Whenever you feel depression, you feel loneliness, remember, depression and loneliness are not sin yet. Depression and loneliness are shapes inside your heart that are causing echoes to vibrate in your thoughts. Something inside. Wouldn't it be nice if every one of us were born with a little radio inside? And the radio inside always says, cheer up, O child of God. Cheer up, O son of God, for I have overcome the world. Or it says, no. Ta-na-na-na. Ta-na-na-na. Or ta-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. And you notice that inside us is something that produces joy. You don't depend on outside to give you joy. There's something on your inside to give you joy. And Jesus did say in John chapter 14 verse 27, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gave, do I give to you. So we didn't just have peace. We have the peace that comes from Jesus. Well, you know why? We receive the Spirit of Jesus. And we begin to take His shape. You know what we are drinking when we drink of the Spirit? We're drinking of the words of Jesus. Jesus said in John 6 verse 63, my words are spirit and they are life. So we're drinking from the shape and the life of Jesus Christ. And He's shaping us as it passes through us. And look at the two verses again, very important. John chapter 14 verse 27. In John 14 verse 27, it says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. So it's not from the world. It's from Jesus himself. And as his, the water of his word flows through our life, we begin to have his peace that comes truly from the Lord. John chapter, looking at John chapter 15, it tells us here, as it tells us about how the fruit of the Spirit is important to our life, it says in verse 11, 15 verse 11, these things I have spoken to you. So his word. He said, these things I speak to you. Why is Jesus releasing his words? That my joy, no, his joy, may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. So the joy of the Lord is our strength. And Jesus produces in us and shapes us until something on our inside begins to feel joy by itself. Jesus gives us. We are shaped into a joy producer, a peace producer, a love producer. And it takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. In Colossians 3:16 says, you got to be filled with the word. Ephesians 5:18-19 says, you got to be filled with the Spirit, which is like water flowing through us. So it must not just be a little, it must be full until it overflows through our life. Saturates us. And as it saturates us, you begin to sense that loneliness disappear, depression disappear. And sometimes there may be pockets of it, but it gets less and less. See, as it less and less, more and more of your spirit being is being shaped. Our spirit being is visualized as water. Just as our body may have a shape, but 60%, 70% water. Imagine how it holds its shape, because the water is spread into your organs, your tissues, your muscles. The same way, the Word of God is immersed into our spirit man. Our spirit man may have a shape, but the content of the spirit man, different from our body, our spirit man is 100% the Word. So you can imagine how much of the Word we need, because our spirit man may be healed, but it may meet tuning to the right frequency. And so as he goes and meditates the word, slowly we are changing to produce the different shapes within our spirit. But the memory of joy, Jesus' memory of joy transmitted to us, Jesus' memory of peace transmitted to us, until it's not just a memory, it becomes ours. And the love, joy and peace becomes ours. And that should be our standard, our standard joy and peace. And last week we talked about when we sing in tongues, when we speak, sing in the spirit, that we all carry a tune inside us. There is, and John Gillick identified that, he calls that the triumphant note. There is a tune inside each one of us, and that note is what is sustaining you subconsciously all the time. And we must keep tuning into that, so that when you close your eyes, you hear it. When you open your eyes, you hear it. When you walk up and down, you hear it. And there is constantly that tune is flowing in you. And even though you might not sing it, but it's beating like your heartbeat in your spirit man. Our spirit man does not have the same physical heart like a physical body. But our spirit man does vibrate. And it vibrates to a certain beat and frequency. And if you're not sure what is your tone, then you can start with praying in tongues. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14 and 15, Paul says, I will pray, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prayer, but my understanding is unfruitful. Then he says, what will I do? I will do both. I will pray in the spirit, I will pray with the understanding. And then without missing a beat, he jumps to number two. I will sing with the spirit, I will sing with the understanding. You know, as if one leads to the other. He didn't even talk about singing, he just straight away mentioned singing, that he will do it. And so when you pray in tongues, inside you is a melody in your life. Now, for some of us, especially if you came to know Christ as an adult, if you came to know Christ at the age of 30, you got 30 years of sin. 30 years of sin can be wiped out in 1 second, less than 1 second, by the blood of Jesus. But you got 30 years of shapes all over inside you that need to be reshaped. And that shape is producing a certain tune. Sometimes overnight, people certain shapes get touched very fast. But for some, certain shapes are more stubborn because they have been, you know, more hardened. Maybe those shapes are more hardened. Certain parts of them are like ice and needs to be touched by the fire of God to be melted. And then as you're melted, which is why sometimes people are very hard, then one fine day the Holy Spirit move, and then they cry like a baby. Next day they change. Then why? What's so special about the tears? You know, they go gone and see 20 sad movies and cry and bawl their tears out, but they wouldn't change them, because it's not the tears alone, it's what caused the tears. It's the word of God making them cry. It's the presence of God making them cry, reshaping them. And that's why we also say it's not just joy or merriment. Because if that is so, all you have to do is go and read a lot of jokes, or go and see funny movies. You know, that is not really, because the funny movies may be produced by very coarse jokes, and then end up you're very coarse inside. So, you know, your merriment. So, wrong shape. The words produce the wrong shape. It has to be something that comes from God Himself. The joy, the love, the peace from God. And then your joy genuinely comes from God. And then it is the right tune in God, in the right shape that God can bring it forth. And so at this time we have a little bit of practical session. Let's stand up where we are, and we just speak in tongues for a while. I give you a chord so that we can all be unison in one chord. And we speak in tongues. I give you a key of G. And let's sing a song first, and then we go into tongues. I love you, Lord, and I lay my voice to worship you, oh my soul. Take joy, King, in what you hear. Let me be a sweet, sweet song in your ears. Sumriyan kamabariyan alamo Niriyanga nga seriyan nalahanga mamamosha Ambahan nininga mamamanga mama seriyan nalamamamosha Avra asniyanga mahanga lahanga mamamana. Now for speaking tongues, singing tongues. Niriyan nalamanga mahanga nginga nginga nilime seriyan Amriyan nirihiniyan nalahan nalasiniyan nalamamamamamamamamash Oriyan nalamamamahasiriyan nalamahasanamamamamamamash Shimiriyana Gama Shiriyana Lama Mama Shana Kimiriyana Lama Shana Lama Shana Arre Mama Shana Imiriyana Lama Hanga Mahanga Mahanga Imiriyana Riyana Lama Shana Imiriyana la, just continue singing the spirit in Hinga Masha. Imiriyana la hanga mohangindia. Aliyana la sha. Honginga mashiriya niriya hanga mamasha. Thank you, Father God. Seal this atmosphere. Seal it in the Lord. And you can differentiate that praying in tongues and singing in the spirit produces two different type atmosphere. Okay, now let's pray in tongues. Aba shiki baranga mahanga mahanga mahangi bika mahanga bahati ki bahashi analama ege bahanga oshini anahanga bahashi riando robahanga ba enga bahari iznahala mohamba every anara mahanga bahashi anga Shubranga mahante kibi asna farian talamash rabahashi talamash. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now notice your praying in tongues has a certain tune, but it produces a different atmosphere. And so when you want the atmosphere and the tuning to go faster, you have to go into the singing part. See, many Christians do not sing in tongues. In their own life, the only time they sing in tongues is in church when everybody sing a bit. But at home, they go kapa 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 kapa, and then maybe you come for overnight, you don't do it. But most overnight, I also seldom hear people sing in tongues. Most time, I hear people go kapa 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 as they walk out and up. But when you sing in tongues, the melody comes out. See, the melody is the part that is very powerful. And then, let's sing in the tongues first. Humanga mahaniya Ramanga ngimiriyana Eviriya honga lahonga ngena lahonga Honga hannirihin nirihin lahanda longoma Anga haleriya ne ne na sa salala la la sene na la honne menagamon amma seriana la maha seriana ariana kemeria shana. Amen. See, the atmosphere was different because one is slightly more powerful in shaping. Now, both are necessary. There's a time to pray in tongues, time to sing. But maintaining the shape, singing. Singing important. In the book of James, it says, weep with those who weep. And then it says, if anyone, you know, is sad, sick, let him call for the elders to pray for them. If anyone, you know, they're sad, weep with them. Then he says, if anyone is merry, let them sing. And the default mode for Christians should be singing. And if you don't want to sing because, you know, you look like a strange person on the MRT station, right? And your next station, they might lock you up in the hospital you have at Woodbridge, right? And so, hum. My secret, hum. And you know why? Sad people cannot hum. Now, there's a time to be sad, I know, when you're sad. But even if you're sad, you must find a way to get back into your joy. It's okay to cry, it's okay to be sad when sad things happen, but if sadness become a part of your life every day, finish. We must get back to Ephesians, melody in our heart. So you cannot do that, you go, inside you can hum. And then if you hum long enough, you could even hum almost without sound coming up. You hear a sound. And then everything you do got melody. Next time you see, sometimes it's very interesting, I'm an observer of people. Whenever you go to MRT station, especially where Dhoby Ghaut and Outram Park, and then there are lots of people, boom, boom, boom. Wow, you should see the way the people walk. I thought I'm a fast walker. And normally I'm normally a very fast walker. So one day as I was walking at the highest speed I could, because any higher it will look like, you know, the competition. So, and you will look very funny. Have you seen people who are walking in the competition or walking? Their walk really look very funny, right? You can't help it because it's at that speed. But some people don't care how they look, they really walk like that. And some were almost running. And so as I was walking very fast, and then suddenly the guy started running. And then the thing is you run, it looks okay, it still looks good. But some of them, they're walking, wow, they walk so fast. And you know, when you walk fast, you do look funny. You know, some people, they wait a lot. But the best is, you have your internal rhythm. When you're walking, you got your tune. Yeah. So there is always a song in every movement. There's a song in your walk. There's a song in your dance. There's a song in your run. Whenever you get into a rhythm, even Olympic winners, champions, you know what they have? Rhythm. When the rhythm is broken, they cannot win the competition. Even the best of them. But when they get the winner's rhythm, which is something intangible for most of them, but the only way I can define is the rhythm, then you know. In your life, every day God makes you a winner. If you want to maintain that, don't lose that song, that rhythm. And it's inside each one of you. And merry heart do good like medicine. And a merry heart has a continual feast. That's talking about provision. And so one last time as we close, in the spirit, pray. And you sing in the spirit. Listen to your insight and then bring it forth. And I'm not going to help you this time, just letting you go. Yeah, just come forth. That's it. Yes. Thank you, that's lovely. Thank you. Alright, that's good for today. We'll do more later. Father God, seal this that you're doing in each life. Bring joy, bring love, bring peace, because this is what you're doing in each life. Establish it, Father, in this life. And cause your power to be upon each one in each life. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Give Jesus a good clap offering.